good to be here. Thank you for having me. For those that don't know that I'm Jeffrey's son, I just remind you, I'm Jeffrey's son. I think you knew that already. It's really good. I'm really glad to arrive. We set off from Bath about 11:30 this morning, maybe just after that, and eventually arrived about 7 o'clock tonight, having taken Hebe, my daughter, 15-year-old, who just finished GCSEs yesterday. Praise the Lord. I know, it's great. Geography, yes. She finished yesterday. Anyone else did GCSEs? Finished off GCSEs? Just yes. Have you finished? Fantastic. So congratulations on that. You don't have to go to school anymore. Brilliant. So we dropped them off, and I'm glad to be here. Sarah said, asked me to say something. So if you'd like to turn to Leviticus. No, don't worry. We don't have to do that yet. No, but thank you. I just want to say thank you for those who were willingly going to turn to Leviticus. That's great. I love that. They say that children are a little bit like their parents sometimes. And if you see any traits in me that are like my parents and you like those traits, then they are from them. If you see any traits that are dislike my parents and they are bad, then they're mine. Okay, so I just own up to the good ones are theirs and the bad ones are mine. And the same is true for the parenting of faith, that is NHEC. NHEC is my parent. It grew me. I was a little seed and I was planted into the family of NHEC. And I've grown up. And all the good things, if you see any good things in me, they're your fault. And if you see any bad things in me, they're my fault. Okay, so that's how I want you to see. So just discount anything that you think is wrong or irritating or a little bit, or just not right. And just say, oh, bless. Okay, yeah, he'll grow up one day. Okay, but and all the good things, just go, oh, what a great church we are that we grew someone like that. Fantastic. Okay, so that's how I want you to think about me. Just to say something about how significant this weekend away is. It probably is, on the church's budget, if you add up all the money that you've spent on this weekend, the biggest thing that your church will have spent their money on as a community this year, probably over the last few years. It's a huge investment of your cash, which is always an indication of people's commitment. It also is a huge commitment of your time. If you add up the number of hours, multiplied by the people that we are here, and work out how many hours we're actually spending here. It's a hugely significant thing. And it strikes me as a slightly odd thing to do. There are few people in the world that would willingly give up that amount of cash and that amount of time to do this kind of stuff. Most people are filling their weekends with something a little bit more daring or adventurous or relaxing or less, in a way, purposeful than what we're doing. We're strange doing this. I don't know if you feel that strange, but I just wanted to remind you that you are slightly strange doing this. But also to give yourselves credit for the strangeness, because it's a good thing that we're doing this strange thing. And I think it's incredibly significant that we are doing this thing. And our souls need it. Our hearts need it. Even though we don't always recognize it, and maybe we didn't, as we paid for the check, we didn't quite. Because that's a lot of money, isn't it? And you've thought, is it going to be worth it? Is it really going to be worth it? Angus, my 18-year-old, he's at Glastonbury tonight, and you two are playing on the main stage of Glastonbury tonight. Now, we could be there, or we could be here. And you've chosen to be here rather than listening to... some of you are going, you who? Yeah. Don't worry. If you didn't know what Glastonbury was, doesn't matter either. That's fine. Now, I'm going to be talking about the mission of God as a lifestyle this week, and if I work this out. Now, this is the graph of your emotions through the weekend, and you can choose which line you want to take as your own. Some of you started off as blue. You were very excited when you came. And by tomorrow morning, after a really bad night's sleep, you will have dipped somewhat and a little bit grumpy. But then hopefully by the end of the weekend, you'll have peaked again right all the way up there. Others of you were anxious from the moment. You were green. You were right down there. You weren't actually that excited about coming. Supper didn't change any of your attitudes. You were a bit disappointed by that. And you're hoping that by the end of the weekend, you're going to get somewhere. Red, well, you're just all over the place, okay? And if you look at red, you started and you finished in almost exactly the same place, and that may be you. The truth is that we are on a bit of a curve, and just as every worship session has a bit of a rhythm to it, or every activity has a bit of a rhythm to it, this weekend will have a bit of a rhythm to it. And can I just suggest to you, having done these kind of things, these strange things before, is that it doesn't really matter how you do it. But try and listen to your heart. Try and listen to, there's something that you need from God. There's something that other people will need from you. And just listen to your heart as you go through this rhythm. There will be times when you'll be a bit bored, a bit irritated, a bit tired, a bit grumpy, a bit happy, a bit sad, a bit amazed, a bit. There'll be all kinds of different emotions. All those things are good. Don't worry about that. That's all fine. We don't all have to be on the same place at the same time. This is a good illustration of that. But God is going to do something here with us. He is going to do something here with us, which is good. And it's a good thing that we're here. The significance that we gave to this weekend is not as much as the significance that God has already thought about for this weekend. He was planning this before Sarah was. You with me on that? Does that make, yeah? Which is a kind of nice thought. That he's put more effort into this weekend than I have, or that you have, or that, you know, that's a nice thought to start with. God has put more into this weekend for you than you have. The giving thing is on his side, not ours. We can come and go, thank you. It's great. My hopes for the weekend are that we will be real. What I often long for in my life is a place where I can talk honestly and openly about my struggles, my doubts, my fears, as well as my confidence and my faith. What I long for in my life is, because it's hard being exposed as a Christian, I want there to be places where I can have a chat with other people and be known for who I am and not have to pretend. And one of my deepest longings for this weekend is that this will be one of those places where we will not try to make everyone else into the perfect Christian, or not expect ourselves to be the perfect Christian, but allow ourselves to be whoever we are at the stage of wherever we are at the moment, so that we can come and just be ourselves together. And that there is a kind of a warmth, a generosity towards each other that enables us to be real. Pauline, a friend of mine, is 58 and she's married to Chris, and she's very much on my mind because she has cancer and it's rapidly spreading through her body. Every week it's worse. And she's a member of my church, and she's on my mind all the time. Now, it's one thing to have cancer, and you know many people and your friends, maybe there are people in this room who even have cancer as we speak. And you know what it is to carry that. But I think there is an additional thing of when you've got cancer and you are a Christian. Do you know what I mean? Because then you have to work out not just about how you handle the cancer thing, but you've got to work out how, as a Christian, do I handle the cancer thing? How do I exhibit my faith? How do I pray for healing? Or how do other people do it? Do I display the glory of God? When I feel down, how do I feel about that? Do you know what I mean? About when you're a Christian, you have stuff. Now, often what happens when we feel that is that we hide ourselves away a little bit because we think there is a proper way of being a Christian. And if we expose the improper way, then other people would think worse of us. Can we make a pact together that we will only be ourselves this weekend and we won't try and be perfect Christians or try and make anyone else out to be a perfect Christian this weekend? Will we be real? Yes? Yes? Very good. The first question in the Bible is, does anyone know what the first question in the Bible is? Where are you? Who said that? That was great. Where are you? Fantastic. The first question in the Bible is, where are you? You said that too. Brilliant. Sarah, you said that. That's excellent. I'm impressed. That's really good. How are you? Things have changed. That's fantastic, Sarah. That's brilliant. That's brilliant. Yeah, where are you? And you could read that or hear that word, where are you, with different tones of voice. But if you read it with the father who stands at the end of the drive waiting for his long-lost son to return, where are you? Then maybe it's that within mind that we could think of our father being here going, where are you? He's already longing for us to come to him and be real with him. And, you know, we've got our speech about how we ought to be perfect, and he just goes, just shut up for a second and let me put a ring on your finger. So will you be real with me and honest and vulnerable and true and all those things? Good. The other thing is that remarkable about this thing is that it's a retreat. And there is, just as your computer needs a retreat every now and again, do you know what I mean by that? You know, every now and again it just goes, I'm hot. I'm just going to slow down for a moment. And then you get that thing in the middle of the screen, which kind of starts going round and then doesn't go round anymore and just kind of stops mid. Would you know that really irritating bit? Happens on iPlayer all the time. Do you get that on iPlayer? It just kind of stops. Just at the good bit. It goes on retreat somewhere and then comes back again and you're back on the thing. Now, we need the spiritual and physical equivalent of those kind of things in our lives. And they are good things. We just really do need space where we can stop. And it is an incredible thing. We should have taken off, I was going to say feet, but that would have been difficult. We should have taken our shoes off as we came in, because this is in a way kind of holy ground. It would have been an appalling thing to take our shoes off as we came in, because, well, my feet particularly aren't that good. So, but you get the point. It would have been maybe a symbolic thing of us saying, this is a holy space. I'm going to retreat. I'm going to be with God. It is interesting that before Jesus did anything, he went off to the desert, and I'll be talking a little bit about that. So may this weekend be a retreat for you. Retreating is important. We need to reformat our hard drives, and that takes time. Sometimes you need a whole 24 hours for your hard drive to be reformatted. Secondly, or thirdly, or fourthly, or whatever I'm on now, God will speak. I do believe that we're here for a purpose. Regina said this when she prayed, and I believe that to be true. And it's important, I think, to carry around in that sense that that God has us in the center of his mind, even though we may not have him in the center of our minds, and that he has always got something for us. And you may not be in the place where you feel particularly like you've got anything for God at the moment, but that doesn't really matter. God, I believe God has something for you this weekend. And I'm confident of that. The psalmist says, be still and know that I'm God. Yeah, using God's voice, be still and know. Jesus said, come to me if you're thirsty, if you're hungry, and I will refresh you. He said, ask, and you will receive. Yeah? So God will speak to you. Now, you may be hungry and thirsty for God's voice and life in you. So come, knowing that he will speak. He's here to speak to you. Anglicans, any other... any other Anglicans in the room? You know, half Anglicans like me. I am not an Anglican by birth. I've been born as one abnormally and become an Anglican, and I'm not quite sure how I got through underneath the radar, but somehow they've let me in. Crazy things. Anyway, the Anglicans every now and again they interrupt services with things like this. They go, "The Lord is here," and everyone replies, "See, you are Anglicans, really. You really are Anglicans. You know this stuff. Isn't that great?" I mean, before we break bread, we kind of remind ourselves, the Lord is here, and everyone goes, yeah, you're rushing it a little bit. You know, you need to get into the Anglican way of doing it. So, the Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Now we do that not because we think it's really good to say these things in a kind of religious way. We do that because we need reminding, and our brains forget that. Our hearts forget that. And we come to these important points, and then we need to connect with this truth that He was here before we were. The Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. He will speak. So if you're thirsty, come. The other good thing about that, the fact that He will speak, is that the pressure is not on me to deliver. The pressure is on you to be attentive to what God is saying, which is great. Do you like what I did there? That was good, wasn't it? Yeah. I'm feeling so much better now I've said that. The other thing is that God will bless us. I've been brought up in the family of Northwood Hills Evangelical Church, and I know what it is to preach, and I know what it is to be challenged. You with me on this? You know, we like a good challenge. We didn't get to where we are today without a good challenge every week. Maybe two. Are you with me on this, or am I talking to... Has it changed since then? We like a challenge. Now, I've learned in the process, because I thought that's what you did when you preached. You always had to look for the challenge. So I went for the challenge a lot in my early days. And then I realized that actually people need a bit of challenge, but they also need to know that they need to feel better when they leave the building, not just worse. Are you with me on this? Now, my hope is that God will bless us and that we'll feel His hands like the hands of a father blessing a son on us this weekend. And that we'll feel better as a result of it and not worse. That we won't feel heavy hands of challenge, but we'll feel the strong hands of blessing. You with me on this? May you know your identity and may you know your blessing. May you know the Father blessing you this weekend. Okay, what I'm going to talk about is a mission lifestyle, or the mission of God as a lifestyle. And I don't know, was anyone here when I came away, I don't know how long ago it was, 6 months ago when I came and spoke about the main thing being the main thing, the main thing. Anyone who was here for that? That's not, okay, well, it's kind of building on that this kind of these series of talks. Sarah asked me to prepare 4 talks, which seems like an awful lot of talking. So, would you agree? You're not supposed to completely agree to that. That was a bit too strong an agreement. But yeah, I've got four talks. And really what I'm going to do is talk about mission and lifestyle. And my thoughts are, and I'm not going to talk about it tonight, I'm just going to tell you what I'm going to talk about so I don't have to do that tomorrow morning. Is that God has a plan for His world. He's got a dream, a purpose, a mission. And we find, just as we sang that song, Purify My Heart, Here I Am, Set Apart, I Want to Do Your Will. When we get into His will, we feel good. And when we're away from His will, we feel bad. So it's good to be in the center of God's will. That there, when we get into God's mission, then things are good for us. So the first thing I want to do is to talk about a bit of God's mission. And the second thing is to reflect about our lifestyle and what it is to have a lifestyle that is shaped by the mission of God. So that the dominant shape of our lives is shaped by the mission and purposes of God. Now, you could have said a purpose-driven life or something like that, except for that just sounds too exhausting to me. And I think we're all a bit too driven in all kinds of different ways. So I don't like the word driven, particularly as Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. I don't think Jesus was as driven as the word driven implies. Are you with me on that? Do you agree with that? He was purposeful, but it's not quite the same sort of thing. But what would it be like to have the mission of God as a center of our lifestyle? So we're going to be mulling on that. Angus, as I said, is at Glastonbury, and he's trying to discover his lifestyle at the moment. He's 18. He's finished his A-levels. He did art and photography, and a little bit art and photography, and a little bit more art and photography, and he also took geography as well. Although he mostly did art and photography. You can get where I'm going with this, can't you? He looks like he did art and photography. If you can imagine him now, He doesn't look like he did geography. He looks like he did art. He went off to Glastonbury looking like he was going to Glastonbury, or rather looking like he'd come back from Glastonbury. He got there, and I was talking to someone else who was kind of looking after him. He's gone to a tent called the Sanctuary, which is run by Christians to bless the people of Glastonbury with a safety net. If you lose your tent, if you lose your stuff, if it all gets nicked, if you fall apart, if life suddenly becomes really complicated, you go to the Sanctuary tent, and these Christians will love you and bless you and just look after you, and you can sleep in this Sanctuary tent. And there's art, and there's face painting, and there's music, and it's a chill out space. So that's where Angus has gone for these next few days, and he definitely is, you know, really excited about it. We chatted to Lisa, who's looking after him, and apparently he took more headgear out of his bag than clothes. He had all kinds of hats and feathers and stuff. I'm not quite sure why, but apparently it was very important that he packed all that stuff. We phoned him yesterday afternoon, and we said, how are you? And you could tell he was high as a kite, fantastic, having a great time. And he said, halfway through the conversation, "Oh, yeah, and I've pierced my ear." "Oh, okay. Yeah, great. How long ago have you... When did you leave? How did you pierce your ear? When did that happen?" It happened in the queue. What time was that? 3 o'clock in the morning. 3 o'clock in the morning? Who pierced your ear at 3 o'clock in the morning? I did. You did? How did you do that? I put an earring through my ear. You what? As you can see, Angus is experimenting with his lifestyle right now. So join me as we pray for his soul. But you can see where I'm going now. Angus is adopting various lifestyles, and he's investing quite a lot of time and energy into developing that lifestyle. It is not happening by fluke or accident. It is something that he's choosing deliberately and walking towards. You with me? What would it be like if, having the same purpose and intention and enthusiasm, we had the mission of God as our center and we were driving towards it? What would happen to our lives? How would they change? What kind of hats would we wear? What would we do with our ears? What would we do with our bodies? Where would we take them if the mission of God was the center of everything? Are you with me? Does that sound like a thing to think about? Because that's what we're going to think about, and it doesn't really matter whether you like it or not. Okay, the first thing that we're going to talk about is, I've divided it up into four sessions, and I told Sarah a little while ago, that, and my dad, that that I was going to, because I've been thinking about Ephesians so much recently and just been trying to memorize it off by heart. Yeah, I've got to verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father. No, I can't even do that. Praise be. Yeah. Anyway, so as you can see, I'm struggling with the memorization thing, but I've listened to and read Ephesians through, I don't know, more than I know how many times. I love the book of Ephesians, and I'm really getting into it. So it's in there, but it's not like at the front. We're not going to go through Ephesians like it's kind of like turn to page 1, and we're going to go through it now. However, having said that, talk 1, if you want to do something tonight, a little bit of homework for those who are keen, the spiritual mature among you, the elders. Yeah? Do you think they will? What I want you to do is to read Ephesians 1 tonight before you go to bed. Brilliant. And it starts off, and then if you want to read... If you want to read just a shorter bit than Ephesians 1, because that's going to take you at least 5 minutes, which could be a long time. If you've got less time than 5 minutes, have a think about Ephesians 3, the last half of Ephesians 3 from verse 14 onwards. The bit about the love bit, the prayer. Do you know the bit, the love? He says, "All I pray about is that you might grow in love, the height, depth, width, and length of God's love, so might be filled with the fullness of the full measure of God." You know that bit? Read that bit, have a mull on that, and pray it for yourself and pray it for everyone else here. Or if you don't want to do that, go to the end, chapter 6, the last bit, which talks about the armor of God. Use that as a prayer before you go to bed. Put on the armor of God before you go to bed tonight. Yeah, would you like to do that? You could do that. And those three bits are probably the kind of structure behind which. Now, the other bits fit in around it, and you'll hear them, but you probably hear it as an echo rather than in the foreground. Having said that, what I'm going to do is I've divided it up into four talks. And the first one is the dream, and in this one we're simply going to think about, where are we headed? Where's the destination? What's the passion? What's the driving? What's the end point? What's the goal? What's the vision? What's the dream of it all? Are we all driven by desires? What is the desire that God wants to plant in our hearts which we would give up everything for? What is the treasure that would drive us so that we'd buy the field? You with me? So that's what we're going to do, session one. Second one, we're going to talk about the logo. In the beginning was the logo. John chapter 1, verse 1. And we're going to talk about the logo. We're going to talk about every company has a logo. And we're going to talk about our logo. And we're going to talk about why I think that logo is the best logo, even though it's the weirdest and strangest and most uncomfortable logo that you could possibly imagine. And you wouldn't choose it if you could. If you would. Are you with me? It's a strange logo. So I want to talk about why that excites me and where that might lead us. And then by the evening, you'll have had lunch by now. And some of you are back on the upward curve. Feeling a little bit settled, you've shaken off your fear and you've recovered from your bad night's sleep and you're feeling a bit better. And in the evening, we're going to talk about church and I'm going to throw some sociology at you. You up for sociology? Up for some statistics? I'm going to throw you about, I'm going to describe the picture of how church life is at the moment, how it was and where it's going to and why that makes us feel strange and uncomfortable at times and how we're going to cope with the changes that are happening around us. And apply some of the stuff that we did in the morning to some of that in the evening. So we're going to talk a bit about the company or the church, the people of God, the seed of Abraham, the bride of Christ. We're going to talk about ourselves for a bit. And then on the morning, we're going to talk about the lifestyle. How do we maintain a lifestyle that is shaped around the dreams, about the passions that God has for us? What would happen if we took the passion of God and made that our own? What would happen to our lives and what would our lifestyle look like? How do we maintain that? So we're going to talk about disciplines and the way forward from there on in, so that you might go home with something practical to work on together. Does that make kind of sense? You can have a sense of structure? If it doesn't happen like that, the Spirit obviously took us and led us in a completely different way. If you have a Bible and you want to read it, then have a look at Ephesians right now and just pick it up if you've got a Bible. And turn to that beautiful bit in the middle, the prayer for Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom the whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power this weekend through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith this weekend. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, Northwood Hills Evangelical Church, Fairfield, may have power, together with all the saints right across the world, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love, to know it, to know that you know it, to feel it, to experience it, may you know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the full measure of the fullness of God. Now, you may find that difficult to believe that that could happen. But now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all you could ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. And the people said, may the Lord bless us and keep us. May the Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious to us. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us his peace. Amen. The Lord is here. You're not really that Anglican after all, are you? But that's great. Okay, so yeah, that's what we're doing this weekend. And may God bless it to us. Amen.